Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Man Who Ran Washington, The Life and Times of James A. Baker 3 is a political biography by Peter Baker and Susan Glasser that examines the career of one of the most influential Republican power brokers of the latter 20th century. Centered on James A. Baker III, the book traces how a Texas lawyer and businessman with no early Washington pedigree became a central figure in the administrations of Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush. It is not simply a career portrait, it is also a study of how Washington functioned during a period when negotiation, institutional loyalty, and disciplined dealmaking could still produce major domestic and foreign policy outcomes. The authors use Baker's trajectory to explain broader transformations in American politics, including the rise of partisanship, the management of executive power, and the end of the Cold War order. The result is both a biography and a political history of an era. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, James Baker as Washington's most effective power broker. A central theme of the book is Baker's unusual ability to acquire and use power without becoming a conventional ideological leader. He was not portrayed as a policy philosopher or a public tribune. Instead, the biography emphasizes his talent for making institutions work, coordinating people, and turning political advantage into concrete results. That distinction matters because it explains why Baker became indispensable to several presidents. He could operate in campaign politics, White House management, Treasury, and state with the same pragmatic approach. The authors present him as someone who understood that power in Washington often depends less on formal authority than on trust, access, and competence. His influence came from being the person others relied on when decisions had to be made quickly and messily. This framing gives the book its main argument: Baker mattered because he could translate political chaos into workable outcomes. Secondly, from Texas outsider to central figure in Republican national politics, the biography gives special attention to Baker's late and unexpected entrance into Washington. He was a member of Texas elite circles, but he did not begin his career in the Capitol and did not follow the usual path of a lifelong Washington operator. A family tragedy and midlife career shift brought him into national politics, which makes his rise especially revealing. The book uses this background to show how personal circumstance, ambition, and opportunity can reshape political destiny. Baker's friendship with George H.W. Bush also matters here because it helped connect him to the internal networks of Republican power. Yet the authors do not treat his rise as a simple story of social access. They show how his outsider status made him adaptable and how his Texas pragmatism helped him navigate a Washington culture that often rewarded loyalty and discipline over theory. His career demonstrates how a figure without early Washington credentials could still dominate the system if he mastered its mechanics. Thirdly, deal-making as a governing style in the Reagan and Bush years. Another major topic is Baker's governing method, which the book contrasts with ideological rigidity. During Ronald Reagan's presidency, Baker is shown as the practical manager who helped convert broad political goals into functioning policy. The authors repeatedly underline his preference for negotiation over purity and for stable coalitions over symbolic confrontation. This approach appears in domestic policy, where he played a role in major legislative and fiscal fights, and it becomes even more visible in the Bush administration. Baker's style was well-suited to an era when the Republican Party still contained both conservative activists and pragmatic institutionalists. The book suggests that Baker succeeded because he knew how to work with Democrats when necessary, manage internal party tensions, and preserve presidential authority. Rather than romanticizing compromise, the biography explains why compromise was often the only path to durable results. In that sense, Baker becomes a lens for understanding a political culture that has become rarer in later decades. Fourthly, foreign policy statecraft at the end of the Cold War. The international dimension of Baker's career is one of the book's most important subjects. As Secretary of State, he helped manage some of the most consequential diplomatic developments of the late Cold War and immediate post-Cold War period. The biography highlights his role in assembling the coalition for the Gulf War, supporting the reunification of Germany, and helping guide the peaceful end of the superpower confrontation with the Soviet Union. These episodes are not treated as isolated triumphs, but as evidence of a particular diplomatic style. Baker is shown as highly effective in high-stakes settings because he combined patience, credibility, and a clear sense of presidential backing. He could reassure allies, pressure adversaries, and make complex negotiations move toward an outcome. The book also underscores that these achievements were possible because he understood how domestic politics and international diplomacy were linked. His work abroad depended on political authority at home, and his influence at home was amplified by his foreign policy success. That combination makes him a rare figure in modern American statecraft. Lastly, a portrait of Washington before polarization became dominant, beyond Baker himself. The book uses his career to describe a broader political world that no longer exists in the same form. The authors argue that his era was one in which elite relationships, institutional norms, and personal trust still mattered enough to make government function across party lines. Baker's story therefore becomes a historical comparison with the present. The biography suggests that Washington once ran on a mix of rivalry and cooperation that allowed major decisions to be made without the level of permanent gridlock seen today. This is one reason the book has relevance beyond biography. It invites readers to think about how American political culture has changed. Baker is not presented as a nostalgic hero of a perfect past, but as an example of a style of governance that relied on discipline, professionalism, and respect for process. The contrast with contemporary polarization gives the book analytical weight and explains why it appeals to readers interested in political history as well as leadership. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in American political history, the mechanics of executive power, and the practical workings of diplomacy. It will also appeal to students of leadership who want a serious case study in negotiation, coalition building, and crisis management rather than a simplified success story. What distinguishes it from many political biographies is its dual purpose. It is both a detailed life of James A. Baker III and a larger account of how Washington operated during the final decades of the 20th century. The authors use Baker's career to illuminate not only campaigns, cabinet service, and foreign policy, but also the changing culture of the Republican Party and the eventual rise of gridlock and polarization. That makes the book more than a portrait of an individual. It is a carefully reported explanation of an era. Readers who want a richly documented, institutionally minded biography with clear historical significance will find it especially valuable. If you would like to support Peter Baker, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.